1 John 1:5 to 1 John 2:2, okay? It goes like this. This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. Sounds like something we just sang. Verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And He Himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Let's pray. Lord, help us as we study this very, very important passage, that we might grasp it so that we may walk with You in a right way, in Your light and responsive to Your light. Lord, we ask that You would give us understanding so that we might live the way we ought. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, grab your notes, fasten your seatbelts, all right? Because we're going to review the whole front real quickly. And then I want to go over the charts at the bottom because that'll help us with the transition to the backside, okay? We looked at last week, we did a quick overview of the book of 1 John. God is revealed in three different ways. He's called light, okay? In Him was the light of life, is our phrase out of John 1. That God is life. We've looked upon Him, our hands have handled concerning the word of life, okay? So God has revealed His life, and this life was manifested to us, the Bible goes on to say. So it's God is life. He's also revealed more explicitly, God is light. God is light in verse 5. We just read that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. And then in chapter 4, verses 8 and 16, the Bible says that God is love. Okay, so God is life, God is light, God is love. In the book of 1 John, He's revealed that way. Let me address how I approach 1 John, and that's why it states your stated reasons for the writing of 1 John. Some people see the book of 1 John as proofs that you're saved. I reject that idea because there's more to it than that. And I list four stated reasons here why John wrote the book of 1 John, and only one of them has to do with knowing whether you're saved or not. Okay? Here's one here, chapter 1, verse 3, to have ongoing fellowship with God and one another. That's his first stated reason for writing 1 John. A lot of people, for whatever reason, grab the last one and somehow say that that's the overriding reason. There's no way that that can be what this is talking about. It's not proofs of salvation. It's promptings because you are saved. The second one here is these things that we write to you that you might have joy and that your joy may be full. Okay, John, 1 John 1:4, to have full or complete joy. Then chapter 2, verse 1, which we'll look at in our second session, that these things, my little children, I write to you that you might not sin. Okay, another reason, and to remind us of our advocate when we do sin. And then the last reason, and for whatever reason why people grab this one and leave the others out, I don't know, but to affirm eternal life based upon belief in God's Son. These things we write to you that you might believe in the name of the only begotten Son, and that believing might have life through His name. So there's multiple reasons. 1 John 1 starts with that your joy might be full, okay? It isn't that you might have joy, but you might have full joy. And we looked at two truths about God. We're jumping down in the notes here. This is the message which we have heard from him and declared to you, that God is light and him is no darkness at all. Truth number one, God is light. And we talked about in great detail last week what light was, but we summarized it in two forms, two elements here. Right thinking. Light involves right thinking, what is true. So light, walking in God's light shows you what is true. Okay? And I put down here informational, accuracy, knowing what is right. And then right, light, walking in the light also involves right living. Knowing what is holy and doing what is holy. And those are tied together many times. Not always, but many times. If you know what is true, it identifies also what is right. One of the big issues in our day, which is a shock, if you, in my lifetime, we've come so far in this way, but the concept of same-sex marriage. Well, if you understand that God's created a man and then created a woman for a man, then that defines marriage. It's not an issue of a poll or whatever. That tells you what is true, but then it also tells you what is right in a moral sense. So marriage is between a man and a woman, and that is both what is right and what is true at that point, okay? So sometimes those go together. But walking in the light is letting God's word tell you what is true and what is right, okay? We cannot come to those conclusions ourselves. Tell me a verse that says that that's the case. There are more than one verse as well. That you yourself cannot come to God's conclusions. How about Jeremiah 17:9, where it talks about our hearts are desperately wicked? How about Proverbs 3? This is a very familiar one. Trust in the Lord with all your, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Which means that you cannot trust yourself. Okay? Hebrews 4:12 talks about the Bible. It's like a sword, two-edged sword, sharper. That can divide between the joints and the marrow. And the Bible even says the thoughts and intents of your heart. You can't even discern what's an intent. It's why you do something. You need the Word of God to filter that. You need the Word of God to reveal that. You need the light of God to show you what is true about yourself. Okay? So light is what is true and what is holy. And walking in the light is walking responsively to that. God says that's right, then I go that way. God says that's holy, that's the way I conduct myself. Okay? In him is no darkness at all, is another truth about God. God knows and understands, with regard to truth, God knows and understands everything perfectly. There's nothing that God fails to know or fails to understand. He has absolutely no wrong knowledge. You know, he doesn't believe in some error that's really not true. Ignorance, inaccuracy, falsehood, or incorrect understanding. God is also absolutely holy. He has absolutely no sin or sinfulness in character, attitude, intention, or action, and rejects all that is sinful. So God is light. He knows everything absolutely perfectly, accurately, and clearly. And God is light in that he is completely holy, and there's absolutely nothing of sin that he accepts, tolerates, or in any way leans toward. A summary statement there. God, as light, knows everything fully and completely, and he is absolutely holy in all his being and completely rejects all that is sinful. So that's kind of the verse 5 there. Now, last week in the first part we said, by what means do I walk? When it says if we say that we have fellowship with him, if we say that we're Christians, that we walk with God and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Okay? If we say that we're in some kind of relationship with God and ignore the source of light, the Word of God, we are lying. Because we truly aren't in a relationship, an interactive kind of ongoing fellowship. That is impossible because you have to walk in the light in order for that to take place. Okay? Talking fellowship, this is in your notes again, but walking in ignorance, ignoring what is true, and unholiness, ignoring what is pure or holy, is to be living a lie. We do not speak the truth and we do not practice the truth. And the way the Bible reveals this, and I think it's a good way to look at it, is our words are validated or proven false by what directs our ongoing walk. We use the idea of a map. What map directs your life? Is it the Word of God? If it is the Word of God, you must be in the Word of God constantly for that to take place. Otherwise, the Bible says you are walking how? In darkness. Now, Wednesday, we did a little thing with Guy. I thought of even a better way to do it today, but we won't do that. At least not when you have cocoa in your hand. Come on up here, Guy. This is what we did Wednesday night to illustrate the whole light thing. Okay, and what I did was I actually set a bunch of chairs down here, and I said, walk over them. You know, no problem. You know, I said it's an obstacle course. Then he walked over. No sweat. Then I blindfolded him. Okay? And then I turned the lights out as much as I could, but he couldn't see anything, all right? Can you see anything, Guy? Good. I'm going to paint your face with tar just to make sure. Okay? Good to go? Now, the one thing I did, though, is I let him see everything before I put the thing on. That, he already had exposure to the light, right? Now, what I'd like everyone to do is be very quiet, okay? Because I'm going to walk Guy around, and then I'm going to tell him to go. Hang on here. Okay, come here. Yeah, I'm going to spin you around first, because then he's pretty sharp. And I always move, too, because then he has no idea what direction. Now, let's see. Let's see. Okay, come on, come on. Don't be scared. Let's see. You all right? All right, let's spin you around some more. Okay. Okay, Guy. Now, this is the better way I thought of it. Okay, ready? Go. Where are you going?
I don't know.
See, that's my point. That's even better because not only does Guy not know the way, he doesn't even know where to go. Why? Because he needs light to show him where to go to start with, right? If you're in darkness, whether you're a believer who's never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior or an unbeliever that's never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior or a believer that doesn't abide in the Word of God, you don't have a clue where to go. So not only do you not know the path, you don't even know what direction to go. That's walking in darkness. That's a little better, huh? A little humbling, isn't it, now? Because he was pretty good even with the blindfold on Wednesday night. Does that make sense? If you're in darkness, you don't even know what you don't know. Sounds like Donald Rumsfeld, doesn't it? Kind of, there's no knowns and known unknowns. But you don't even know where you're going. You don't even know maybe that you're supposed to go. Because I even told Guy to go. That's light in a form of light. That's telling him to do something. If you're in darkness, you don't even know that you're supposed to do something necessarily. And then whatever you do, you don't know what the dangers are. You don't know what the directions are. You don't know what the decisions. You don't have any input on decisions. And if you as a believer are not in the Word constantly, you are like Guy with the thing on. Now, you might have some light on that because you've been taught or heard, or you read some, but you have to have ongoing input because of your heart. Because your heart does not lean in the right direction. Right? At least the Bible seems to be accurate about my heart. deceitful and desperately wicked. And it doesn't seem to exclude any of you. I don't see your names in here that says except for. Okay? Does that make sense? We cannot know what we need to know apart from walking in the light. And the light tells us what is true and what is holy. And both of those things require the light of the Word. And you need those in order to make correct decisions and moral decisions. And often the correct is the moral. Okay? Those not always, you know, north is that way, roughly. Okay? That's just information. That's true. That there's not necessarily a moral connection to that. So there's truth there that isn't necessarily moral. But sometimes truth and morality go together. Always truth and morality go together. But truth isn't necessarily a moral thing all the time, okay? North doesn't necessarily tell you you have to head north, okay, by itself. All right. Guy, you all right? Back to Coco and all that? Okay, good to go. I was amazed when he started walking. I said, go, and he starts walking. I'm like, where are you going? Okay, I thought that was even better. So, okay, the second side of your sheet here, the Bible says that we are to be walking by means of God's light. God's light is to be our map, or in reality, our illuminator of the map, in a sense. It gives us the information and the understanding about the information. Verses 7 and 8, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all, what? Sin. Notice the word. We'll talk about that a little more. If we say that we have no, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Now, I've broken it down to requirement, benefits, and dangers. I've done that with the next section that we'll look at here just briefly, but we're still reviewing. The requirement is ongoing walking in the light. If we are walking in the light, it's an ongoing process. It's an ongoing expectation. God says you need to be walking in the light always. Kind of smacks of Psalm 1 where it talks about blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates every Sunday almost. Is that what it says? What's it say? Day and night. The Word of God is to be our glasses, if you will. It is to be our light by which we move and breathe. Okay? We are to walk in the light as God is in the light. And I put a little summary statement here. Walking in the light is letting God's light guide my ongoing moment-by-moment walk by showing, should be me, what is true and holy and walking accordingly. That's true, I follow that. That's holy, I follow that. That's unholy, I steer clear of that. If it's untrue, I steer clear of that. Okay? The benefits. Benefit number one is ongoing fellowship with one another. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Why? Because our basis is what is true and what is holy, both with God and with other believers. Benefit number two, ongoing what? Cleansing. We get the English word cauterize, which usually it's something that burns, but it's the idea of it keeps a wound clean when they're doing surgery or whether you cauterize it. But it's cleansing from all sin. Okay? You walk in the light, as He is in the light, you have fellowship, and you have ongoing cleansing. It's an ongoing process. It's present tense. He is continually cleansing you from sin. Now listen here. How many here have sin natures? How many have a tendency to want to sin? I mean, okay, how many are married that have a spouse that'll tell you that you do? Okay. We do. The Bible says that we have a sin tendency. We talked about this many times before, but we're sinners because of three reasons. And none of them have to do with marriage. Okay. Sinful acts. That's what we usually think. What we do that God says don't do. Or what we don't do that God says do. That's sinful actions. We've violated something, you know, by our actions. There's also inherited guilt. You're guilty because you're what? You're son of Adam and Eve. I was going to say your parents, but yeah, it leads all the way back to Adam and Eve, right? We've inherited guilt. Adam and Eve got kicked out of the garden. Why? Because they're sinners. And guess what their kids were? Sinners, yeah, and all the way down to us, right? And then the Bible says that we have a negative bent, a sinful nature that draws us. Yeah, it's often called the flesh, the lust of the flesh, okay? What we're talking about here is that negative bent. The Bible says you have that. How does God overcome that? Well, if you walk in the light and let the Word of God show you what is true and what is holy, you can respond accordingly. Okay? And you're walking in the light. So it says true or holy, so you act upon that or reject it based upon what the Word of God says. If that's the case, you have fellowship with God and other believers, and God cleanses you from all sin. It's not sins at this point. There's no article or anything, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But if I can interpret it this way, sinfulness or sinful bent, it cleanses you from sinful bent. You have to walk in God's light constantly for that to take place, right? It's a present tense, and God continually cleanses you from that sinful bent. Now, what happens when you stop walking in the light of God's Word? You start living in light or in darkness, i.e. the sinful bent is part of that darkness. Okay, you go with your understanding, what you think is true, what you think is holy, not according to what is actually true. Okay, but God overcomes our sinful bent on an ongoing basis as we walk in His light. Walk according... in response to the light, okay? So we avoid sinful situations that might lead us into sin. Does that make sense? Like what we listen to, where we go, what we see, what we do, okay? I'll give you an illustration here as we finish summarizing this. I'll just be another character here, but it's like, you know, I don't understand it. I keep, and this is not true, okay, I'm being fictitious now, but every time I go into the bar, I want to drink. And then I end up drinking and I get drunk. And what would you say based upon the light of God's Word on that scenario there? What would you say to me? Yeah. Do you understand, and that's maybe a course and maybe easy to see one where other things it's not as easy, because it might involve your computer at home. Okay, we put stuff on our computers to help us, you know, do things right or whatever. Or I set my cruise control on the speed limit so that I don't go over the speed limit. But you might say, you know, there's things that we can do to help us do right, to do what is right and what is moral. And you say, well, Kevin, if you have that issue, number one, God would say, don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. The Bible would say, if that is a struggle with you, and that is an issue, then you should not go to the bar. Okay, so that overcomes, it actually removes an element of temptation. It doesn't totally, you know, eliminate that, because tomorrow if I go in the bar, what am I going to do? I'm going to face the same thing. So it's the issue of making a wise choice based upon the light of God's Word. Does that make sense? It helps me overcome my sinful bent that way, because He leads me in the paths of, like it says in Psalm 23, right? He shows me the right way to go. Well, and that doesn't mean, folks, understand this, I believe that Jesus might have gone to a bar. Jesus was a friend of sinners. Okay, and the Pharisees pointed fingers at Jesus because of who He hung around with. You're a friend of publicans and sinners. So understand, there's different reasons. But I'm not saying you should go to a bar as a believer unless your intent is to influence people for the Lord. You understand what I'm saying here? And I would say that the majority of people that go to the bar aren't trying to influence anybody for the Lord. Okay? Right. You know, all for wrong reasons, which the Bible would talk about. Okay? So understand this, though, we're not trying to be legalistic about, well, I'm standing on this ground, and therefore because I'm standing here, I'm wrong. What it talks about intent, why you're doing it, and all of that. But by and large, you don't go to sinful places to try and avoid sin. The Bible will help you avoid sinful places. The Bible will help you go to good places. The Bible talks about hanging around wise people because Proverbs 15, it talks about those that hang around with wise people will be wise. Well, it talks about the influence. Who do you hang around with, whether it's a television character, who you read or listen to or whatever, you'll become like whatever you do to some degree or another. It'll influence you. The Bible tells you that. It helps you to embrace or avoid right or wrong influences. In fact, it even tells you to avoid influences that don't have eternal impact at all. Set your mind on things above what? Not on things of the earth. So it doesn't even have to be something bad so much as something temporal. Okay, one of the things that it doesn't cause my blood to boil. But I just wonder how much believer time is lost watching basketball at this time of year. Or NASCAR, you know, or whatever, you name it. It could be 1,000 other things too, okay? And can you go to NASCAR or basketball and have God's intentions in mind? I believe you can. But if all you're doing is watching TV to see what the temporal end of a year's worth of basketball is, I believe that the Bible tells us you're supposed to redeem the time. Because why? The days are evil. All right? There's better things to do with your time. Right? So, and it's hard to know where to draw the line, but I'm saying if that ends up being the habit of life, then I think you need to evaluate what life is bringing you and what you're doing in the light of what? God's Word. Okay? There's so many things, and I don't know. It's hard to see how you would see the Savior spending hours and hours in front of any television watching anything if he was here today. Why? Because there's better things to do with his time, right? And that's just, there's 1,000, I'm using it as an illustration, and anyone can say, well, television's not a sin, and I agree with that. Okay, or whatever the case might be, music's not a sin, or whatever, yeah, but okay, is it helping the further the kingdom of God? Is it helping you to be better in the kingdom of God, or whatever the case might be? Those are things you have to weigh out in light of the Word of God, not your own understanding, right? Ongoing cleansing. So God counters our sinfulness, our sinful bent, by showing us what is true and holy. Walking in the light involves acknowledging our ongoing sinfulness, what the Bible reveals about it. So we actually have to agree and understand that we have a sinful bent. We're dependent upon God to help us navigate that, okay, by the light of His Word. The dangers, if we say if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we say that we don't have a sinful bent, the Bible says we're self-deceived because we have a leaning towards sin and we don't have the truth in us. We must acknowledge our sinful bent. Without agreeing with this, we will not be dependent upon God's help to overcome it. And deceit, we looked at it in detail. Now look at these charts down below here. What I have is three columns in this chart. The first one is a statement, if we. It comes from the Bible. If we do this. Then there's two results. That's just the pattern that John writes. But if we walk in the light, result number one, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, is cleansing us from all sin. It's a present tense thing. If we are walking in the light, He is cleansing us. Okay? That is the promise. I'm going to jump down to the third one here. If we confess our sins. And it's ongoing. Confessing. It's an ongoing present tense. So we are confessing our sins. He is faithful and just to be forgiving us our sins and to be cleansing us from all unrighteousness. Those are the two I want to look at. Now jump down to the bottom chart. The others are if we say things. And you can see what the results are there too. But verses 1, or chapter 1, 6 through 8, we talked about this. There's two parts that John is talking about. All right? You have sin, which is sinfulness. If we say that we have no sin, okay? If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Okay, he says that again. That's the terminology there. Now we're shifting into the next part here. If we confess our, what? Sins. Literally, it's the sins of us. That's the way the Greek puts it, okay? Now, this is talking about sinfulness, our sinful bent, our sinful nature. This is talking about our sinful acts, actions, okay? Got it? The difference between the two? If we walk in the light as He is in light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we lie and the truth is not in us. We deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, I want you to get that, and that's in the chart here. All the way down this chart on the right-hand side, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. If we say that we have not sinned, it's talking about an action, so that you may, these things I write to you, so that you may not sin. It's talking about an action. And if anyone sins, He Himself is the propitiation for our sins, the Bible says, okay? Now go to our main point for this morning, okay? This is a passage that everyone's familiar with, probably, if you've been in the faith at all. You've walked with God at all, probably not understood well. It's good to know it, but it's good to know it. It's good to know what is true, right? Because the truth sets you free, not what you think is the truth, but is false, right? It's like stepping on thin ice, and just because you think it'll hold you doesn't change the fact that it won't at all, okay? The truth doesn't change. You might think something's true, but that doesn't make it in any way true at all. Truth is not based on popularity or intent or whatever. Truth is truth. Okay. Here it is. Here's the point here. Let's go over the, I'll just read the 2 points. Two truths about God are actually, by what means do I walk? Am I walking in the light or in the darkness? Okay, that's our choice. Number two, to walk in the darkness, or walk in the light rather, boy, that's terrible. I am to walk by means of God's light. Okay, I'm to walk in the light, by the light of God's word to tell me what is true, what is holy. Number three, I am to say the same thing about sins as God does. And notice I put sins. You might want to circle that, the word sins in your notes. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. The next phrase down is only the same thing in a literal sense, translated from the Greek, and it also indicates whether it's present tense or not. Present tense is the squiggly line, and X means it's not present tense, okay? Now, walking in the light involves verses 7 and 9. This is not something different. I believe it's part of walking in the light, all right? Let me erase what I have here. Verses 7 and 9, okay? Walking in the light involves two things. We've already talked about one is ongoing. Let's write it so you can read it. How's that? Ongoing responsiveness to God's light. If we walk in the light. Okay? And this, kids, this is what the space is here. It addresses our sinfulness. That's the space in your notes there. Okay? It addresses our sinfulness, our sin bent, our sinful nature. We've already talked about that. That's what we just reviewed. We walk in the light as He is in the light. We have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. It's walking responsibly to what God says is true, to what God says is holy. Okay? The next one is ongoing confessing. And notice I put this in present tense because it's a present tense verb. Confessing of what God's light reveals. And this addresses our sinful actions. Both are needed. One helps us to avoid sin by walking in the light. It cleanses us from all sin. It kind of counters the sinful nature because we're pursuing what is true and what is holy rather than living by our own understanding, our own lusts. Okay. The other is we're walking along using the light of God's Word and all of a sudden I read. This is one that God has to always work with me on. Say I'm reading in Proverbs. It's in the Old Testament, isn't it? Psalms, Proverbs 15:1. I know where it's at. It says this. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Okay? Okay. I'm walking in the light of God's Word, right? To find out what's true and what is holy. And I come across this verse more than once, okay? And it says, you know what, Kevin? You have a tendency to raise your voice when you're angry. But according to God's Word, that's not the way I should do it. So, in addition to walking in the avoid, you know, based on what is true and what is holy, I'm avoiding things that's overcoming my sinful bent by leading me in paths of righteousness. Also, it all of a sudden reveals to me, as I'm in the Word of God, as I encourage you to read through the Word of God every year, please. I just started over again. Mine ended March 31st, right? But it shows you things, and you're like, then what are you supposed to do? Because I find myself doing something wrong. What is my response to be? To God's light. He has shown me that now, and I haven't avoided it. In fact, I've been doing it. Right? Okay? So what am I supposed to do? Well, but based upon what the Bible says, first things first here, I agree. We're to confess. And it's ongoing. The Bible seems to think that, oh, no, Kevin, as you're reading the Bible, you'll have plenty to be confessing. Okay? We're walking in the light. I'm doing letting God show me what is true, what is holy, and I'm avoiding things or choosing the right path based upon what He's showing me. But at the same time, He's also showing me things that I'm doing wrong or things that I'm not doing that I should be doing. Right? Sinful actions. I am to be confessing those. That's not failure. It's all, 1 John 1:9 is often, oh, if you failed. Well, most people aren't walking in the light. So therefore, oh, I know it's a sin because I know God says that, but I'm not even paying attention to the Word of God. So therefore, I'm not getting the benefit of the map of God's Word. And they just have 1 John 1:9 as some kind of scapegoat thing. And God says, no, no, no. You have to be walking in the light before 1 John 1:9 even kicks in. 1 John 1:9 isn't, I live the way I want. I live as a sinner any way I want to reject God. But I know that anytime I sin, I can just say, God, forgive me, and I move on. That is not what the Bible teaches. Your sins are forgiven based upon your walking in the light and confessing. If you're not walking in the light, the confession thing isn't even going to come up. Okay? It takes ongoing immersion in the Word of God for God to do this in your life. You have to be walking what is true and what is holy, and then God says, aha, notice Proverbs 15:1, Kevin. You might want to memorize that. The first thing, What does it take? Confessing. It comes from this word here. And that means absolutely nothing to most of you. It looks like this. Ha-ma. That's an H sound there. La-ge-o. We've looked at this before. Ha-ma or homo. We use it in our language, right? Homogenized. Homosexual is a term we use a lot today. It means same. Okay? And la-ge-o is to say. So to confess means what? This isn't hard. This isn't rocket science. What does to confess mean? If we confess our sins, use this. If we say the same thing about our sins, as who? Yeah, God says if we confess our sins, He says you need to say the same thing I do about them. See, the first step is to acknowledge, God, this is wrong. When you get to sin, it's a moral issue. You've ignored what is true and what is holy. Or you just didn't know, right? Well, either or. God reveals it and says, Kevin, you need to work on that whole soft answer thing. Okay, God, I admit it's wrong. I confess it's wrong to speak in anger. That's the first step, confessing. And by saying the same thing about it, you're saying that it's wrong to do it. So that whole not doing it again, in the Old Testament Proverbs, if we confess and forsake, is the idea of confessing. It's not, hey, get out of jail card free and go back to do it and go back into the bar. Here, I went again. And God says, no, you're not walking in the light. You're not walking by means of my light. You're missing the whole point. It's not a get out of jail free card like you get in Monopoly. It's you're to walk with God and confess as He reveals things to you, which involves saying that if it's sin, then I don't do it again. That's my response. If I'm saying the same thing, that sin is sin, then I do not do that. I let God help me avoid that as well. Now, might I do it again? Yes. What must I do? Confess it, right? It's an ongoing process where God uses me walking in the light, and part of that walking in the light is saying, here's something here you need to work on. Here's something here you need to work on. That's part of walking in the light, okay? Ongoing confessing of what God's light reveals. Calls sin what God calls it. Okay, looks like I got extra words in there. I moved it around. Okay, now the benefits. You know the verse, if we confess our sins and it's, you could be translating it, if we are confessing our sins, because it's an ongoing activity. As we walk with God in His light, we are to be confessing what He reveals to us as far as our sinful actions. What we do that we shouldn't be doing, or what we don't do that we should. Okay? Benefit number one, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. I thought I was already forgiven. I'm saved, aren't I? My sins are farther from the east is from the west. Are those sins on your platter then? Are they held against you? Are they part of your account? Is God's salvation not adequate? Some people think that. Understand there's two parts to salvation, right? Actually three, but two. Third is future yet, new body. But we're saved. It's a birth. Okay? Everyone here was born. Raise your hand if you weren't born. Okay, good. None of us remembers being born. Okay? I don't remember being there. Okay? I just know that I was born because mom and dad said so, and every year they have a birthday or, you know, whatever. Okay, you know, you have a birthday. Allison's is tomorrow. We don't want to mention it because that would embarrass her. But if the, you know, it's a birthday. But guess what? When you're born, let's use Allison since she doesn't mind being a birth. Allison born into the Carpenter family. Okay, is that it? Is that over? Is that done? Have you had to do a few things since you were born, Allison? Think so? A little bit? There's a whole process of behaving like a carpenter for Allison. She's turning 18. She's still in process. Okay? There's birth and then there's behavior. There's being born into the family and then living as part of that family. That's what we're talking about here. John said, these things I write to you that your joy may be full. These things I write to you that you may have fellowship with us. What's the key? Fellowship. Ongoing walk with God. Guess what? Sin will separate you from God in a practical way. Just like, just out of a total hypothetical situation, if you've ever, anyone here married, raise your hand if you're married. If you've ever had sharp words with your spouse, until that's resolved, isn't there something there? Well, sin does that between us and God. God hasn't changed. But guess what we do with God? You know, there's sin. I'm really, you know, kind of busy today, God. That, you know, I'm really, really not interested right now. Isn't that what? And God says, no, we need to get rid of that. We need to confess that so that is gone away so that we can have continued walk with God. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. How can God forgive us our sins? Because Jesus has already paid for them, okay? It's an issue of ongoing here. Okay, our sins are we're justified. The Bible says we're declared right by what Jesus did. But guess what? Our lives look something different than Jesus. Okay, so God says, I want to make you just like Jesus, and there's things in your life that I want to take care of. All right, so he does that by this process, walking in the light and responding as God points sins out, acknowledging them so that we stay in fellowship with God. It's not a lack. We will sin. God will point things out that we didn't even know were sin as well. God wants to continue the relationship so that that sin doesn't come in the way of us and him. So we are to confess that sin. Okay? And it's an ongoing fellowship. It's not just living like you want and then, oh, there's something I know that God for sure doesn't really want. And then confess it and move on. You're missing the whole plan of what God has for you as a believer. He wants ongoing, intimate fellowship with you. Walking in his light, determining what is true and what is holy by what his word says. Avoiding or choosing paths based upon what God's word says. And then, as God reveals things to us as far as sinful actions, or that we just sin, God says, you confess that as an ongoing process of walking with me in the light. Walking in the light includes confessing our sins. God is faithful and just because of what Jesus has already done to forgive us those sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Okay, here's the other, there's two benefits here, okay? Look in your notes here. We have forgiveness of confessed sins. That's what we know. That's what I call it anyway. If we confess our sins, we know we've done something wrong. We confess it. He is faithful. He will do it. He's reliable and just. He's not breaking the law by doing it. We'll talk about that next session. He's not overlooking sin because God cannot overlook sin, right? Because he's holy. He's not overlooking it. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. What does forgive mean? Forgive is used 143 times in the New Testament. And it means all kinds of things. I suppose, as a result, it can mean to let go, to leave. There's lots of different meanings. It's also the word for divorce in the Bible. And to forgive. Okay, it's to set aside or to cancel or to forgive. Here he's setting aside, he's canceling it. And the forgive is fine, but then we have, okay, what does forgive mean? You know, to cancel it maybe is the right word. Is faithful just to cancel our sins? That's probably a good word. And then notice here, to cleanse us from All unrighteousness. And if I can change one thing here. Oh, I'm sorry. Benefits. Confessed sin. That's number one. Benefit number one. Confessed sins. Kid, you get that? Daniel, did you get that? Confessed sins. And then the second one is the cleansing of each unrighteousness. I put the word each here because this is singular. Are there things that you don't know about in your life? Do you realize that there might be attitudes or actions in your life, in my life, that I'm not even aware of? And God says, guess what? You confess what you do know, and I'll take care of what you don't know. I'll cleanse you from all each unrighteousness. Okay? He cleanses us. And what I think the process here that is indicative, the process is the goal of God here is not to save us. This is for saved people. This is already, you're already in the family. The goal is to clean you. Okay? To make you practically righteous, to make you practically holy, to make you, Paul says in Ephesians, you were sometimes darkness. Now are you light. Walk as children of light. He wants, it's positionally true, but he wants to make it practically true. He wants to live it out. So benefit number one, forgiveness of the confessed sins and cleansing of each unrighteousness. That seems to be the unknowns. Okay? The dangers of not confessing. By the way, jump down to those. There's four verses in your notes here. Just to give you an idea that God is trying to, he's in the cleaning business. Cleaning in the sense of he wants believers to become righteous and holy. 2 Corinthians 7:1. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Do you understand that God wants to clean you from all filthiness of the flesh? Ephesians 5:26, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. That's an illustration of what God does, Jesus does for the church and what a husband does for his wife. He's cleansing her. Titus 2:14, Jesus, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. You can translate the word purify, cleanse for himself his own special people, zealous of good works. And he's talking about in our present day in that context. James 4:8, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Okay? That God is talking to believers and he wants us to live clean and holy lives by walking in the truth and holiness of God's word. There's two parts here, two dangers in your notes. And then we'll take a break here. It says here in verse 10, if we say that we have not what? Sin. Do you know, understand that's an action? God says that your action is a sin, and you instead of confessing it, you don't confess it. If we say that we have not sinned, by not confessing it, we're saying, God, I don't believe what you say. What you say is not true. So if we say, if God says it's a sin, he's pointed something out, whether it's Proverbs 15:1 or whatever the case might be. If he says it's a sin, and you ignore it as if it isn't a sin, the Bible says you make God a, what is it, kids? A liar. You are saying God is a liar. He's saying it's sin, and you're saying it is not a sin. I'm not going to do anything about it because you're a liar. How's that? Have you ever thought about that? If you're not confessing sins, you're living a lifestyle of calling God a liar. What do you think of that? How's that for self-deception? Isn't that amazing? If we say that we have not sinned, no, it's not God. No, it's not God. I can raise my voice. Well, that's fine. It's not. That's calling God a liar. And it says the word, his word is not in us. It's rejecting God's
word.
And we can say all we want about coming to church, which is a good thing, about reading our Bibles, which is a good thing. I encourage both beyond measure. I think those are good things. But it isn't just living the way we want. We have to be living in the light of God's Word. Otherwise, we're deceiving ourselves and we are making God a liar. Questions or comments? I'm stopping here. I'm going to do the back sheet after our break. Have I said something that didn't make sense? This is easy, but it's hard because we're breaking it up in pieces. And part of that makes it hard. Part of it, I know there's people here that didn't hear last week, so that made it extra hard to add on to it. Questions or comments? Let me ask you this question before we break up for our break here. Is it possible to be Christian, not be a Christian, not be saved, but is it possible to live a life of Christianity by not doing this? I would very heartily say absolutely not. You cannot walk with God apart from being in His Word, walking by the light of the Word. And it isn't just reading a passage and checking it off. But I think that's good. That's a good thing to go through. But it's letting the Word of God show you what's right and wrong and then living your life accordingly. And then when He shows you something that's sinful that you have done, an action or even a path that you're on, that you confess that and you take a different path. Okay? I don't see how a person, based upon the Word of God, can walk with God at all. He would be just like guy with his the blindfold wrapped around his eyes, and there is no benefit to walking in darkness. There is nothing to win and everything to lose by walking in darkness. That's why this I don't know that there's, for a Christian, I don't know that there's a more important chapter in the Bible than 1 John 1. Romans 6 is a lot like 1 John 1. There's a lot of them that teach the same thing from a different angle. But you have to understand this. That's why it is absolutely important to be in the Word of God constantly, to memorize, to meditate, so that you can see the world, see yourself the way it's true and holy, the true and holy way of seeing things, the right way to see things.